Stay down there somewhere, won't you?
Let me get out of the way here.
What's the date? December 6, 1989. At Russell Higgins' place. He's going to tell the whole thing.
Tell me when you want me to start talking. Now, I got to have somebody to talk to and to look at, because if you do Jerry. Think I'm talking to myself, then I get to studying directly. You know?
Talk to me.
No. We never heard it.
Well, once these there was two fellas living in a little old town, you know, and one was named Big Claude and one Little Claude. And it seems though Big Claude, he had all the money, he had everything. Little Claude had nothing much, you know, just lived poor, you know. Well, back at them days and times, that you know, that all the transportation they had was by horses. Well, of course, every time that Little Claude would have something to haul, he'd have to go over and get Big Claude's horses to haul it with. Now, Little Claude had a horse, but he's just an old poor thing. He couldn't haul nothing. But then he would go get Big Claude's big fine team, you know. Well, he'd be driving, going to get his stuff and be driving along. Back in times, a lot of people gathered together quite a bit, communicated together, you know, and they'd be going to church back and forth along the road. You always met a bunch of people. And Little Claude would be driving along there. He'd holler, "Gee, Paul, there, my big ten," making the people think it was his, you know. Gee, Paul, there, my big ten. Big Claude was with him. He said, "Well, now listen, Little Claude. I want you to quit doing that. Hollering and making these people think that them's your horses, because they're not your horses. You know, they're mine." "All right," Little Claude said, "I understand." But he said, "Tell me what I'm going to do. If you ever do that again, I'm going to kill your grandma. What I'm going to do to you." "All right," Little Claude said. He had a big load to haul, and he went over there and bars Little Claude's horse. Big Claude's horse, the hallway. He's driving along there, and a big crowd of people along there going to church. Hollering, "Gee, Paul, there, my big ten. Gee, Paul, there, my big ten." Now, Big Claude was in that crowd of people. He came over and told Little Claude. "Now, what did I tell you?" He said, "I know what you told me. So I told you I was going to kill your grandma?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to kill her." He said, "Go ahead and kill her if you want to." So go on and kill her. Big Claude did. He just went over and killed Little Claude's grandma. Well, Little Claude went over to see if he had killed her. He had killed her. Well, Little Claude said, "What to do now?" He went out and got his old poor horse and put it in the wagon, went in and got his grandma and put a bonnet on it and on her and put her on this spring buggy, and he drives down to this curb service. He went in and ordered up his grandma her meal, you know, her supper, and told him to take it out for his grandma. The lady took it out, Miss Platter, said, "Here, missus, your lunch. Here, missus, your lunch." And she's just sitting there, and she got up and gave her a little jerk, punched her, and off she fell in the road. Sprouted all over. Out run Little Claude, "Hey, I'm having you arrested. You kill my grandma. I'm having you arrested. You kill my grandma." "Oh," she said, "listen, Little Claude, if you don't have us arrested," she said, "we'll give you a bushel of money." "No," I said, "I'm going to have you arrested. You kill my grandma." "Oh," she said, let me pay you off, Little Claude." Well, he looked at her. He said, "Bence, that you will." He said, "You can say you got a bushel of money?" He said, "Yeah." Well, she said, "You get a bushel measure and measure then." "So where do we get one?" He said, "Well, I can get a bushel measure. I'll just go up and get Big Claude's bushel measure." He went up and got Big Claude's bushel measure. He measured money. Now, Big Claude's piece, if one wanted to know, you know, knows the people is, what Little Claude got, he was wanting his bushel measure measured in. He puts a little tar in the bottom of it, you know, give him an idea what he was measuring. He bought the bushel measure back, and there's that tar. There's a quarter stuck in that tar. He took that look. He went out and said, "Little Claude, where'd you get all that money that you had to send get my bushel measure to measure it in?" He said, "Well, I sold my grandma and got it." "Sold your grandma and got it, huh?" "Yeah." I said, "Then we'll just sell mine." He just went over and killed his grandma and threw her on the wagon, went down through the town and hollered, "Dead woman for sale, dead woman for sale." Well, I had him arrested and put him in jail. He's in jail a long time and got back. And here long come Little Claude. He said, "Little Claude, do you know what I'm going to do for you?" He said, "What?" He said, "I'm going to take you to Reverend Dramagee." He said, "Well," Little Claude said, "what's that for having me to kill my grandma?" "Well," Little Claude said, "go ahead. You can take me down there if you want to." Big Claude put him in a sack, made him a sack, put Little Claude in, going down the road with him, going to the river. He had to go by a church. Well, these people's in there preaching and praying all the time, you know. And He just sets little Claude down by this door, and I've come a man, kicked that sack. So what's that in that sack? Don't, little Claude said, that's me. So me, who are you? Said little Claude. So what you doing in the sack? He said, Big Claude's take me to the river to drown me. He said, take you down the river to drown? He said, yeah. My God, he said, little Claude, I've been wanting to die for 10 years, and I didn't want to commit suicide. He said, why don't you get out and let me in your place? Oh, little Claude said, I'm going to die. No, I said, tell you, I got a farm. Said, I got a farm. I've got cattle, sheep, hogs, horses, and everything. And I'll tell you, you just get out of that sack and you can have them all. Tell you where to go get them. All right, Claude said, Mr. Chief, untied the sack. He untied the sack and told little Claude what the stuff was. And he got in and tied up the sack. And out come Big Claude, and he just threw it on his back and took her down to the river and socked her in. Well, about a week later, little Claude come back up the road. They stuck down the road and seen all this stuff coming. Horses, sheep, cattle, and everything. Little Claude running along there hollering, hey ho there, hey ho there. Big Claude come out. Said, my God, little Claude said, I thought I drowned you. He said, you did. Said, where'd you get all this stuff? He said, swamp bottom sea and got it. Big Claude said, I'm going to get me some. Old Big Claude out there and down to the river and on the bridge and down he went. And Big Claude was never seen since. He said, little Claude lived in peace and died in a pot of grease after that.
That is a jack tale. Little Claude.
You learned that from the Pritts?
Yeah, I learned that off of them.
Was it Mel Pritt?
Mel Pritt. Yeah. Mel Pritt's a man that told me that when I was a little boy. He'd come up there to my aunt's, you know. He lived right below and come up there and tell us stories at night, you know. And he told me that once, and I remembered that. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another one now. Now, see if you, I don't maybe I've told you this. Here's another one now. A story that I told the people that some of this they believed. I was picking berries back here on the mountain. Huckleberries, mind you. I was picking huckleberries there, which would have been and sometime in the latter part of August. Well, I picked three big buckets full, and I had a mule and a wagon there, and when I come out, I got my buckets full and come back to my mule and wagon, out, what you know, out walks a big old bear, big old black bear. Well, what I did, the only thing I know to do was to set that there bucket down, you know, and try to feed the bear to keep him off of me. I set these buckets down and took off running. And I looked back, and that bear hadn't stopped at them buckets, I don't reckon. If he did, he picked it up on the fly, because every time I looked back, he's back there about 100 yards. I stayed right in front of that bear, off that mountain, till I come to a river there. Come to this river, and you know that there river was froze over just enough ice just to hold me up,
yeah.
And it wouldn't hold that bear up. And I went across on the ice, and then I heard a big noise, splash or break, you know, and I looked back, and I discovered this hole in that ice. And I didn't see the bear, as I didn't see the bear. And I run over to the other side, and my mother's always a funny person. She wanted to pray about everything, you know. And I thought, did you ever try to pray, you know, about something? And I thought, I said, oh, Lord. I said, didn't you deliver Junie from the belly of the whale and Daniel from the old lion's den? And I said, oh, yeah, Jesus, from the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. It's a good book to declare. I said, now, Lord, if you want to help me, for goodness sakes, drown that bear. Well, I stayed on that side of the river. I walked back to the road that led me back to that sod again. Just walking along. I got back there, and my mule wasn't there. The mule was gone. And the wagon was too. Only thing was some fragments laying around there. Old wagon tires and stuff like that, and some arms, some buckles and everything laying around there, you know. I walks out there and seen an old man out there, a bearded man out there. He's picking berries too. I guess that's what he's doing, pretending he was. I walked out and asked him, I said, old man, did you see anything of an animal around here? He said, what did it look like? What kind of animal was it? I said, well, it's an old gray mule. And he said, no, I didn't see anything. I said, come walk down here with me where I had him hitched and see if you can tell me what's the matter. See if you... He walked down and looked there, turned around and looked at me a little bit. And I said, what do you think happened? Well, he said, son, them are field mice sure's awful bad. He said, they eat the harness and everything off your mule, and your mule walked off. Them field mice eat up the harness and turned the mule loose. So
that was it, huh?
I never went back there berry picking no more. Would you?
No.
I don't think.
I think I went right over Bob's head.
Jerry, you look like to me that you don't believe that.
No.
Now, is there any questions you want to ask about?
I believe every word of it, Russell.
Now, is there any questions you'd like to ask about it?
Well, that walking across the ice and berry picking.
All right, now listen. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes, sir.
That the Bible says there's nothing impossible with the Lord.
Right.
He can freeze out river over in a twinkle of my eye, or he can make it red hot in a twinkle of an eye. He even separated it there, didn't he?
That's right.
Yes, sir. Instead of parting the river and letting me go through, because I tell you, he couldn't hardly done it because the bear was too close.
Didn't have enough time, did he?
The bear was too close. You see, he could freeze that water right under my feet, and that bear sunk. No, there's nothing possible with the Lord.
Kind of like an old Pharaoh.
Russell, why don't you give us one on here before we...
Standard two. High bass.
Here's a little of that Sally Ann.
Hot dog.
I'd like to learn to pick like him. I could if I'd remember to go. No, I never spent enough time with the band, you know, to pick back. Now, I used to do it, but you know.
You're doing wonderful.
I showed you about you, but I'm going to pick you. Well, it's a change. That's it.
Okay.
See, I'm all mixed up. Thing you learn to do.
That's
first
right.
Thing I learned to do. Station Hall Camp, they said.
Station
Hall. He killed
Hall.
Station Hall Camp. See, there's some more war tours. That's a big long song. You probably know it all. John Hardy was the only man he gained. Father and me, brother, stand around.
because I couldn't.
What was all of it?
Yeah, he was. John Hardy was.
About his mom and dad.
Yeah, oh, about his mom and dad.
And then from that.
I forget just how that commander. He was arrested on a rainy day. His father and his mother standing around crying, son, oh, son, what have you done after standing on these gallows to be hung? Mm. John Hardy was standing on the gallows here, never more this world will he see. Saying, before this time, another year, the green grass will be growing over me.
That's a nice verse. I never heard of it.
Nor have I.
Green grass will be growing over me now. Green grass will be growing. Green grass will be growing over me now, Lord. Yes, the green grass will be growing.
He was hung in 1892.
Was he?
Yeah. One.
At the Logan Courthouse? At the Welsh Courthouse.
Is that right?
And his last wish before he got hung was to be baptized in the Tug Fork River. That's where that I've been to the river and I've been baptized. Uh-huh. It was his last wish just before
he was put there? Yeah. Yes, sir. Just played a bit more of that song, but I've laid it down, laid aside, but I've about forgotten all.
The very first verse is something about standing in the gambling room door.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have a nickel to his name or something. Up stepped a gal.
Standing on the depot porch, smoke on a cheap cigar. Up stepped Jim Campbell, the railroad police. Said, come, John Hardy, go with me now, poor boy. Come, John Hardy, go with me. Yeah. I was going down, just several. Wish I'd have got that belt and kept it.
Can you remember where you learned it?
Where I learned it?
Yeah.
I learned that off that male print that learned me that story there. He used to come to our house to pick a banjo. He sang quite a bit. And I just learned it off from a kid. Just a kid.
He lived on Chestnut Ridge?
Yeah, he lived up there. Yeah.
Who all did you play music with back then?
I didn't play nobody, just them Princes, Silt and Mel.
You were born up at Elkwater, right?
I was born at Elkwater, yeah.
How long did you live up there?
I know, I was only there. I was just born there. I probably was only there maybe 5 or 6 months, maybe a year. I moved to Mill Creek, you see. My father and mother moved to Mill Creek. I was raised in East Mill Creek over there.
Who lived in that big log house at the mouth of Elkwater there?
In that big white house.
Log house.
Log house?
Yeah.
Up on the bank there.
Yeah.
I don't remember who that is. I did remember a long time ago, but them people's all dead. I wonder whether it was Crouches or Caesar, who they was there. That's a real old one, ain't it?
Yeah.
Is that house still standing there,
Ian? Yeah, I took a picture of it the other day.
But the Crouches didn't live there.
No, the Crouches lived down below there, but I really don't know. Them people up there would know who lived there.
Arthur D. Johnson learned a piece off of Mel Pritt called The Three Forks of Hell.
Three Forks of Hell.
Did you ever know? Do you know?
I heard that.
And he told Arthur a story about it. It sounded like it was a Civil War tune from maybe the Battle of Cheat Mountain or something.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever hear any story about it?
I've heard them people play The Three Forks of Hell.
Yeah.
And Sil Pritt was a violin player too. He played that a lot. But I never did learn a word to it. I didn't even know what it meant.
Arthur said it was something about if you went back to that place where that battle was and played that tune, that people said they'd kill you or something. It was he got it from Mel Pritt, I'm pretty sure, he said.
Yeah.
And it must have been up there on Cheap Mountain where they had that battle.
Wow.
Now, it's a place right there over on across from Mill Creek, that's on that rich mountain right there. Usually that goes up there. There's a battlefield there.
Yeah.
And up there, and there's one place they called the Lone Sugar there, and maybe that's the thing they was talking about. And they fooled us for a long time. They said there's a soldier buried there. There was, probably was. He was buried there. They said you go there and ask him what he's doing there, and he'd say nothing. Of course he wouldn't. You know, he wouldn't say nothing.
Lone Sugar.
Yeah, it's called the Lone Sugar.
Is that still?
That's in a battlefield there, just over from Mill Creek, right there.
Did you ever hear any songs about the Civil War?
I heard some. There used to be an old man come through here and played quite a musician. He sung all them rebel songs. Uh-huh. Hey, buddy, they was good. Mm. The nearest ones I can get to is what you need playing there, that Jerusalem Ridge. Hmm. Now, that's an old rebel song.
Hmm. Who was the man that came through, do you know?
I don't know. Why. I believe it was a convict called himself Adkins. Charlie Adkins. Huh. He went back over to Pocahontas County. They took him over there. Now, whatever happened to him after that, I don't know. He was an old man when he come down there. I figured he was in trouble from making moonshine, or thought he was, and he's just escaping around. Uh-huh. He wasn't a convict or anything because he was a good old man, but he made moonshine. Uh-huh. Went around and learned the people all how to make it, you know, and got him to making it. Of course, the law got pretty close to him somewhere, and he just escaped out, you know, duking the law. But he come up there and learned all them people in there to make it. And then one night he told them, I believe they took him on a horse, up here to Point Mountain to what they call the Brady Gates. Uh-huh. Do you know what the Brady Gates called are? Just out of Monter, just out of Paintertown up on that hill, yeah. That's probably Brady Gates. Bob Hammond said he took him to there on a horse. Brady Gates and let him off. He's never seen since.
He must have been going to Webster Springs.
He's going down in there someplace, yeah. Huh. Probably maybe going to go back to where he come from. We never did know where he come from. He called himself Charlie Adkins. Well, he believed he got that name off of Saul. Them Adkins all come. His dad said he believed that's where he got it.
He
was a good old man, though. But
that Bob Hammond you spoke of.
Yeah.
Which Bob Hammonds?
That's old Bob.
Mountain Bob?
No. There's three Bob Hammonds. Yeah. This Mountain Bob, and then there's an older Bob than him. The original Bob. Moonshine Bob, they call him.
Drunken Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Told me
he drunk it and sold it and everything else. Mm-hmm.
Bunch of Hammonds.
Hey, that old Bob Hammond used to be a powerful banjo picker, they told me, but I never did hear him play. Mm-hmm. He never had no banjo.
Now, which one was Kearns's brother?
Bob.
That was Mountain Bob?
Yeah. Miami told me his was her sister. Bob was a lot better banjo picker than Kearns was.
Is that right?
Yeah, but Kearns played pretty good.
Yeah. Kearns used to tell me a lot about moonshining up in the Dry Run.
Yeah.
And he had some tight squeezes up there.
Yeah.
Did you ever make any liquor, Russell?
Huh?
Did you ever make any liquor?
Oh, hell, man. You had all I made, you would never have to work again. You would sell, $5 a gallon, you'd be rich, man.
There's a big cow. I hear a laugh from in there in the corner with Mommy.
What of some of them fellas made it with, you know?
What's that?
Some of them fellas made moonshine. What I've recently done, I made it for other people, you know. I'd make it, you know, and just sell it all to one man. Yeah. And there's a fellow living up there in Jerusalem. I don't know, he's always sort of a smart aleck, you know, anyhow. And we walked into Liggett's store up there, you know, that hardware store. He's in there, and I said, hey, ask me stuff, you know. I said, did you tell these fellas about the man who saved your life that time? He said, what about it? I said, you remember when we was making that moonshine you caught afar? I said, you didn't forget that, did you? Now, he looked at me funny, you know. You know, he belongs to church, you know. That's a man because it cussed a little. I said, you never told that there preacher about you getting burnt up the moonshine still, did you? We're sitting there making this liquor. I just had her far right again in the bank, you know. I dug out there a little and put a boiler on here, you know. And of course, the coolant up in that chair. And he was in the fall of the year and getting long towards morning. Got pretty cold. Frosty as heck that morning. Pretty frosty. And I kept watching him. I wanted back there myself. I was getting cold sitting out there, you know. I was hoping he'd move, you know, so I'd get back there and warm up a little bit. And I just, of course, the longer it runs, the weaker it gets, the more far you got to have. You got to keep it building up far, you know, the weaker the alcohol gets. In fact, I got a little too much under there. And directly, man, he just exploded. Man, that man caught a fire. He caught a fire all over.
Wow.
He's laying right there just drying out again that there. But his clothes got so hot. Bang. And he just swung his leg over there, I reckon, when he got too hot, and she caught a fire and it exploded up here. Well, there's another fella with me, and we was making this for this fella's daddy, and he just sent him over there to make sure we didn't steal any of it, you know. And I picked up we just had a little stream there, and I dipped up this bucket full of water, 3 gallon water bucket full of water, because you got to keep that tub cooled, you know. And I believe this man here's made some moonshine, and he knows all about it. And just looked at our bucket of water sitting there, and I hadn't filled up that cooling tub. When Sherman Brennan threw him on the ground, I put the water to him. Thank God, man, he was burning out. Threw him on the ground, got him up out of there, and that first damn leg come out of place. Mm. I said, well, what in the heck am I going to do now? And I said, one man with his leg out, couldn't walk a step on it. I don't know what he done to it. Well, I just looked at your boy, this football. He wasn't a very old fella. Well, he's up in his 20s. He rode a horse up there, back in behind the still, you know, just through the woods across the grade there. Tied that horse up there. I made him a crutch out of an old end pole. Got a forked pole and took the axe and chopped it off so he could get it under there. And we give that man his whiskey. He got part of it. Tied it on that horse, put him on there. He didn't have... All he has on was a set of swimming trunks. Hey, that frost, it was colder than hell. He rode that son of a gun right back in town, too.
I bet he looked a sight.
Well, I wonder what he could, wonder what...
You wonder what they thought of him.
Well, he took a sack or something covered him up there. By golly, I'll tell you. I never did forget that. I asked him about it. Every time I see him, I ask him. I tell him to tell the people about it. I'm going up and tell that preacher about that, too. But that, listen, the Lord didn't save him at all. If I'd been to that bucket of water, he'd have been burnt up. He'd have been roasted duck, wouldn't he?
Hey, Russell.
What about that bucket of ice?
Is he still living?
Huh?
Is that man still living?
Oh, yeah. I can't go around the stock sale. He can go and want to talk to me, you know. Want me to tell him something. Some news or something, you know. Get me to talk about somebody, you know. Yeah, I tell him all kind of stuff. I got so I lie to him like a... We haven't to tell him anything. He thinks I'm a heck of a fellow.
Keep him entertained.
Uh-huh. And I was up there. I'd waste this East Mill Creek here. I was standing up there and look at the store. Oh, Nola. Old Nick was there. And this here fella, what's your name? There's our Mill Creek. caught a girl in that damn pot.
Oh, yeah, up there. Who was he, Pat? His wife worked for the
Anyhow, he was in there too. We stand around. Cheney, he just died here the other day. That's our Bill Cheney. Mm-hmm. And we stand there and we're looking in there, and I've looked over again that mountain chair, you know. And I said, you see them mountains over there? It looks like hollers coming down, don't it?
Yeah.
I said, you see them hollers coming down there? Look, I said, they look like hollers. But I said, you know how them got there? I said, that land was all level when I was raised up there. I said, I wore them hot gullies in there, a pack of moonshine down here at these fellas from Mill Creek. And I said, prove to you, Benig over there. Now, Cheney was out. I said, prove to you, Benig right there.
Nick Taylor?
Nick Taylor. Maybe you know him. He was in Jerusalem. And I said, y'all prove to you, Benig right there. I wore them all out there.
He's caught in fire, wasn't he, Russell?
Uh-huh. Mathis is who that was. He come down there along there one day, and he heard that. Now, he didn't say nothing. But the next time I went back to Lucky, that there fella was there, and asked me about buying, about that moonshine. And I said, by God, I'll trade you a goddamn pint of moonshine for stalking that goddamn old pot. See, they don't really had him up for
that. Is that right?
That's right. I said, I'll trade you some moonshine for a stalk of pot. And, you know, he never did speak to me after that.
Yeah, that's right. Jim Kane.
I don't know how he got out, but he was growing along his garden. He looked like he didn't know it was there.
Was it an older fella or a younger fella?
It was an older fella.
That was growing it?
Yeah, he had family. They was going to school.
And they got it.